So today we're reading from Canto 10, Chapter 9, Text 7. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Utadya Gopi Susrutam Payapuna. Pravesha Sandresha Chadhadhyan Matrakam. Bhagnam Vilokya Svatutasya Karmataj. Jahasatam Chapina Tatra Pashati. Utadya Gopi Sushritam Payapuna. Pravesha Sandresha Chadhadhya Matrakam. Bhagnam Vilokya Svasutasya Karmataj. Jahasatam Chapina Tatra Pashati. Prabhuji's. Utadya Gopi Sushritam Payapuna. Pravishya Sandrishya Chadhadhya Matrakam. Bhagnam Vilokya Svatutasya Karmataj. Jahasatam Chapina Tatra Pashati. Utadya Gopi Sushrutam Payapuna. Pravishya Sandrishya Chadadhya Matrakam. Bhagnam Vilokya Svasutasya Karmataj. Jahasatam Chapina Tatra Pashati. Utadya Gopi Sushritam Payapuna. Pravishya Sandrishya Chadadhya Matrakam. Bhagnam Vilokya Svasutasya Karmataj. Jahasatam Chapina Tatra Pashati. Matajis. Utadya Gopi Sushritam Payapunam. Pravishya Sandrishya Chadadhya Matrakam. Bhagnam Vilokya Svasutasya Karmataj. Jahasyatam Chapena Tatra Pashati. Okay, let's go through the word meanings. Utarya, putting down from the oven. Gopi, Mother Yashoda. Sushristam. Sushritam. Very hot. Payaha, the milk. Punaha, again. Pravishya, entered the churning spot. Sandrishya, by observing. Cha, also. Dadhi atma amatrakam, the container of yogurt. Bhagnam, broken. Vilokya, seeing this. Svasutasya, of her own child. Karma, work. Tat, that. Jahasa, smiled. Tamcha, Krishna also. Api, at the same time. Na, not. Tatra, there. Pashati, finding. Translation. Mother Yashoda, after taking down the hot milk from the oven, returned to the churning spot And when she saw that the container of yogurt was broken and that Krishna was not present, she concluded that the breaking of the pot was the work of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Seeing the pot broken and Krishna not present, Yashoda definitely concluded that the breaking of the pot was the work of Krishna. There was no doubt about it. Om Agyantimidandhasya Granjana Shlakaya Chakshudun Militam Minatasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanyamano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupam Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shigudo Shiutapatakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Scha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahaganadaganatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Pratijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shriva Shakanvitam Shcha Hey Krishna Kuruna Sandho Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Godangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatadubhya Shcha Kripa Sandhubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavane Bhyo Vaishnavi Bhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Dvaita Karadhara Shri Vasari Gaurav Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So in the Didi kitchen we deal with milk boiling over all the time. It's actually a very common emergency. Shama Kund is shaking his head. Yes, it is. It's, you know, you're boiling the milk, you're worrying about it, you're thinking about it, but you're doing other things. And then all of a sudden you hear, and you know, no! And the foam just goes upward like a geyser, right? And you know, if there's other people in the kitchen, you're like, no, go, turn it off! And everyone starts stumbling over each other, and it's a big emergency. So we see that Mother Yashoda, normally there's servants in the house, as was mentioned earlier, but they're out doing other things, so she has to do all the chores herself. And she's sitting there, there's a churning room, and she's sitting there, Krishna's there, she's watching baby Krishna, but she's also churning the milk, and the bangles and everything are going ching, 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 yeah? Now, she's churning milk, she's also churning butter, she's also boiling milk, she's watching Krishna. And this is the common pastime of mothers everywhere, right? You have to watch the baby, and then there's like three or four things you're doing at the same time. So, Mother Yashoda is, not only is she churning the milk, she's also softly singing to herself about Krishna. She's remembering Krishna at every moment. She's thinking of his pastimes. Everything she hears, everything she sees reminds her of Krishna. And there is that beautiful baby boy sitting right there. And she's singing his glories. And if we think of it from Krishna's perspective, how wonderful, right? This is the Supreme Lord is the supreme enjoyer. He's the reservoir of all pleasure. But he knows how to enjoy better than any of us. None of us can organize a situation that's as comfortable, as sweet, and as relaxing as Krishna. So imagine Krishna's position. He's sitting there. He's in Gokula Mahavan, right? The most beautiful place you can imagine. The river Jamuna is flowing right there. You can hear the river. And then from this little cowherd cottage, this is the Supreme Lord, the Lord of all opulence, right? Even the dust of Gokul, it's made of Chintamani. And yet he prefers to sit in this little yogurt room, right? Maybe even a dirt floor, and there's yogurt. He's laying there relaxing and sleeping, and there's big giant pots of yogurt and butter and everything all around him. And you can hear perhaps the cuckoos and the birds coming in through the window. Maybe the early morning sunshine is climbing through the room. And the cows, there's thousands of cows all around the place. You can hear them mooing. Maybe the calves are there too. And Krishna's sitting there with his eyes closed, listening to Mother Yashoda singing his glories very sweetly, very lovingly. And think about just yourself for a moment. Do you remember when you were a baby, maybe a young child, and your mother sang to you? Wasn't that the most sweet and wonderful experience? I know my own mother, she would sing pop songs from the 1960s, right? but the words weren't important. It's the sweet mood, the loving feeling that she's giving you through that singing. She's transferring her love to you right into your heart. And so Krishna, he's sitting there feeling of this most pure devotee, the most sweet and loving sentiment imaginable. And Krishna loves yogurt and butter, and that's what she's doing. Right? Why else would she be boiling milk? She's either making curd or she's making yogurt. One of the two. So when Krishna wakes up, Krishna's hungry. Right? Little grumbling tummy. And he wants something to eat. So Mother Yashoda, she's churning the rod. Krishna comes up and he puts his hand on the churning rod. Right? Just like a little baby. You know? He puts his hand on the rod like, no. No. I want something to eat. Right? he stops her from churning. And so there, and Mother Yashoda very lovingly brings him to her breast. And can we imagine a more intimate relationship with God? Right? We may offer Krishna things that we prepare, get it out of the fridge, get it out of here or there. Mother Yashoda offers things from her very body to Krishna. Krishna's there with his lips on her body. You know, it's the most intimate experience imaginable. And she's looking into his beautiful face as he's drinking the milk. So, but then all of a sudden, as we mentioned, the milk begins bursting upward out of the pot. And there's no one there to help, so it's an emergency. And she immediately takes the child, puts him down, runs to the kitchen, and takes the milk. And as it says here in the verse, utaraya, she lifts it from the heat. She's not trying to inconvenience Krishna at all. She's only doing the minimum that she has to do to stop the emergency. Just taking it off the heat. Right? But Krishna is hungry. And when Krishna is hungry, he does not like to be interrupted while eating. Yeah? So he decides, okay, I'm still hungry. And he's going to be naughty. Right? So Mother Yashoda, we can imagine from her perspective, she takes the pot of milk off the fire and goes back into the yogurt room, the churning room. And Krishna's not there. Right? Where did he go? Right? Immediately she's thinking, where did he go? What's he up to? Right? What's he doing? And so she goes into the, you know, we can imagine these rooms are probably dark because they're the storage rooms for the yogurt and the butter. They're meant to be kept cool, kind of like we have our walk-in fridge here, right? Maybe not that cold. But she goes into the storage room and look what she sees. There's a pot of yogurt with a hole in it and yogurt spilling out, right? And she immediately, as it says in this verse, jahasan tam chapi na tatra pashyati, that she started smiling, right? This Krishna, I know he's done this. You see? So this is the nature of the devotee, that the devotee is immersed 24/7 in Krishna. The devotee swims in the pastimes, the qualities, the form, the name of Krishna. And everything the devotee sees, especially the devotee like Mother Yashoda in ecstatic love, reminds her of Krishna at every moment. The everything she sees is a deep contemplation on the qualities of Krishna and the character of Krishna. And I wanted to read a couple of things from the Nectar of Devotion, where it's described there by Srila Rupa Goswami and translated by Srila Prabhupada, how the devotee is reminded of Krishna at every moment by seeing things in relationship to Krishna. As it mentions here, the Krishna's places of pastimes. This is a quote. One devotee has exclaimed, "Oh, I have not yet visited the wonderful places where the pastimes of the Lord were performed. But simply by hearing the name of Mathura, I have become overwhelmed with joy." So it's simply by hearing the word Mathura, a devotee will become overwhelmed with bliss. And we see with Mother Yashoda, if you can imagine inside this house in Gokula Mahavan, every room is filled to her with pastimes of Krishna and memories of those pastimes. She cannot walk through the house. She'll never enter that yogurt storage room again without thinking of how Krishna broke that pot. Yeah? So everywhere she looks, she sees Krishna. Also, it's mentioned there in the Nectar of Devotion about the tingling of Krishna's ankle bells. It says here, a certain gopi once stated to her friend, "My dear friend, when I heard the sound of the leg bells of Sri Krishna, I immediately started to go out of the house to see him. But most regrettably, my superiors were present just before me at the time, and I could not go out." So baby Krishna also would wear ankle bells. Little baby Krishna's running ching, 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 all around the house. So you can imagine whenever Mother Yashoda would hear this, immediately she's filled with the deepest and most loving remembrance of Krishna. Also mentioned, it's very beautiful. I wonder, is Krishna carrying his bugle today? Some days, Krishna, you'll see, he carries this bugle. So his flute and bugle also remind the devotee of Krishna. In fact, it mentions in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Krishna's bugle is known as Mandra Ghosh, which means like a beautiful, pleasing sound, which is very deep, like rumbling thunder. So Krishna, he played his flute, but he also would blow on this bugle whenever he's calling the cows, right? He's a cowherd boy. So he would go around and you'd hear, you know, all around Vrindavan you could hear this, right? You could be doing something, you know, churning butter, or maybe you're fixing a fence, you know, so the cows can't go out. And you hear off in the forest, and you know that that's Krishna, right? And immediately you're filled with remembrance of Krishna. So in this way, the devotees of Krishna never forget him. And also, we see Krishna's footprints. This is another beautiful thing. It says here, it is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam that when Akrura, who drove Krishna from Vrindavan to Mathura, saw the footprints of Krishna on the land of Vrindavan, his ecstatic love for Krishna increased so much that the hairs on his body stood up. His eyes became overflooded with tears, and in such ecstasy he jumped out of the chariot and fell down to the ground and began to chant, "How wonderful this is! How wonderful this is!" So he's riding on the chariot, and if you've been to Vrindavan, you know it's like a very fine sand, the dust of Vrindavan. And so, you know, Akrura is driving in the chariot, and he notices there's the footprints of Krishna on the ground. So he immediately jumps down, and he's like, "Wow, look, it's Krishna's footprint!" Imagine if you found Krishna's footprint. You're in Vrindavan, visiting on Parikrama or something, and you actually see, wait a minute here, this foot, it looks like the dust hasn't been moved for 5,000 years. And you see, like the flag and the lotus flower, the conch shell, right? The elephant goad, the chariot, and you're like, oh my gosh, you know, that would be the start of a new life, right? So Akrura is seeing these things. It says, similarly, feelings were expressed by the gopis when they're going to the bank of the Jamuna and saw Krishna's footprints in the dust. When Krishna walked on the ground of Vrindavan, the marks of his soul, flag, thunderbolt, a fish, a rod for controlling elephants, and a lotus flower, would be imprinted upon the dust of the land. The gopis became overwhelmed simply at seeing those marks on the ground. So we see Mother Yashoda, she also would see, you know, on the ground within this cottage, the footprints of Krishna. And we'll hear tomorrow how she actually sees these footprints, you know, after she looks and sees the broken pot, she sees footprints going away from the broken pot, right? And those aren't regular footprints, they've got butter all over them. So this is the guilty party. We found, through evidence, Sherlock Holmes. We could see who's responsible, right? And she follows those footprints, and outside she sees an upturned mortar, and we'll save the rest for tomorrow, some suspense, right? You may know that you do not know the rest of the story, so you're eagerly awaiting. So, also today is the day of Srinivas Acharya's, Ramachand Kaviraj, excuse me, and Gopal Bhatt Goswami's appearance day. So, Ramachand Kaviraj, of course, was a disciple of Srinivas Acharya and a friend of Narottam Das Thakur, and he was a great preacher. In fact, it's mentioned in relation to him that he cared nothing for the things of this world. Life, family, home, house, money, etc. It was not interesting to him. He simply went with his good buddy, Srila Narottam Das Thakur. They were a preaching team. And he traveled around trying to spread Krishna consciousness. Similarly, Srila Gopal Bhatt Goswami, working with the other Goswamis, vigorously preached Krishna consciousness. He wrote the Sat Kriyasar Dipika. In fact, Srila Prabhupada mentions that he is the author of the Vaishnava Smriti. Right? So he's a very important personality. So this preaching of Krishna consciousness, as we heard from Svasprabhu reading this morning, that one has to come to the platform of knowledge and the mode of goodness, as Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita in the 18th chapter. And that is to see all living entities as souls, as servants of Krishna ultimately, but to see everyone on the spiritual platform and to interact with them on the spiritual platform, looking past the gross material platform, which is simply an accumulation of people's karma. So the devotee deals with the soul and interacts with the soul, and that's really the basis of preaching. And if you look today at the Google Doodle, You know, like you go to the Google homepage and they have like a picture every day. It shows a bunch of people from all different races and backgrounds holding hands. So this is in celebration of Martin Luther Reverend, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday. And Archdeacon Prabhu asked me to say a little something, perhaps about who he is. So he's a very important person in the United States because he represents sort of the highest moral aspirations of the country, which is essentially to see past these different divisions and from a Christian perspective, which is, was his perspective, to interact with everyone on the platform of the soul and to be compassionate and kind and generous to one another, despite whatever differences and even in the midst of the most extreme conflict. Right? To look past these influences of Kali Yuga and be compassionate and kind to each other. So I thought the best way to maybe talk about him was to, you know, in reference to the upcoming parade and our Harinam and our Kirtan, was to tell a parable of Jesus in the way that he told it. Right? So please listen closely. It's very applicable to our own spiritual lives. So this is the parable of the Good Samaritan. So it's mentioned that there's a long and twisting road that goes from the mountains of Jerusalem down into the Dead Sea Valley. And it's a 3,000-foot drop. It's actually a very perilous road. In fact, we have something similar like with the Grapevine, where the I-5 goes down into the Central Valley. It's a very steep, precipitous drop. Of course, in those days, outside Jerusalem, the road was extremely windy with lots of dark turns you cannot see around. And it was known as the Bloody Road because people were always getting ambushed and killed and attacked on that road. Robbers, thieves, and dacoits were there. And so this, as the parable told by Jesus goes, is that these two priests, which from our perspective we would call them, you know, in our tradition, sort of like smarta brahmanas, right? They have a certain attitude, and the same attitude of the people that were challenging Jesus. So two smarta brahmanas are walking down this path going towards Jericho, and they see a man lying on the path, and he's bloody. And he's hurt, and his body's broken. He's not moving. He may be dead, and he may be alive. But they decide not to help him. They decide to walk on. And so there's many reasons that are given for this. One is, you know, maybe they're thinking that, you know, I don't want to get involved. I don't want to. I have something to do. I have somewhere to go in Jericho. I'm a priest. I have some responsibilities in Jericho. I can't stop. And so they walk on. So similarly, we may also feel, if we have a responsibility to preach Krishna consciousness, we may also feel that I can't, Prabhu. You know, I have service. I can't go on Harinam. I can't preach. I can't distribute books. I have this to do. I have that to do. I have to do my laundry. Right, I have so many different responsibilities. So there's so many different things in my life that I have to take care of, even service to Krishna. So I can't take care of this person. I can't give this person attention. I can't help this person. I have to move on. Another one may be that one is that, you know, this individual is dirty. They're covered in blood. I have to maintain ritual purity. I have to worship the deities later. Right, and so I'm not willing to get down and actually help this person. So similarly, for example, we may go to the Harinam today. We may object that, you know, you go on the street on Martin Luther King Boulevard and there is people frying chicken and there's alcohol and there's so many different things. It's dirty. I don't want to be there. I don't want to go there. Right? But ultimately, the main reason that these individuals didn't want to help him is because the way they were thinking, their mindset is, if I help this person, what's going to happen to me? You see, because it's dangerous. This is a place where people are robbed. And this may be an ambush. This person laying there covered in blood, they may actually be a robber. And if you go to try to help them, they could spring up and try to harm you. Or other robbers may come out from behind the boulders and try to get you. And so one is fearful and one is thinking, if I try to help this person, what about me? And we could see this in our own lives. This is the biggest obstacle, perhaps, to our preaching. We're thinking about ourselves. We're worried about ourselves. If I really just become a preacher, if I try to just give myself to others, if I put my own concerns aside and put them first, what's going to happen to me? What about me? Right? Why should I go out and preach and help others when I've got so many problems? I'm struggling with this. I'm struggling with that. I have this problem and that problem, and there's so many issues in my life. I need to just focus on me. You see, now, along in this situation comes someone known as the Good Samaritan. And the Samaritan in that particular culture, at that particular time, was considered an outcast. Right? It's someone who's, in a sense, he's by society generally despised and looked down upon. And yet the Samaritan saw this man lying there, and he did not ask, if I stop to help this man, what will happen to me? He asked, if I don't stop this man and to help this man, what will happen to him? You see, his whole outlook was different. He wasn't thinking about himself. He was thinking, what about that individual? What about his needs? You see? And this is the essential consciousness of a preacher. The preacher is not thinking about himself. He's not concerned about himself. He's thinking about others. He's thinking about that person out there on Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. If I don't go out on Harinam, if I don't give the holy name, if I don't make an effort, if I just think of myself and my own needs, what's going to happen to them? Who else is going to do this? Of course, we're instruments of Krishna, but it's up to us. We're the ones who are here. We're the ones who know the importance of the holy name and been blessed by Srila Prabhupada, the Parampara, to give that to others. So we need to not so much think about ourselves, but we need to think, if I don't help these people, what's going to happen to them? We have to put them first. Okay? So, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Are there any comments or questions? Yes, Prabhu?
I have to distribute all these books, you know, because I very often found that, you know, I'd be going along and there's either some fundamentalist Christian or some, you know, like some person that they're not really interested in the philosophy. They just want to like vent, or, you know, they just want to take your time, you know. And of course I'm thinking in my head that, well, I could be talking to 15 other people. Maybe they'll take a book and then Srila Prabhupada can preach to them, you know, which is, I'm just an instrument like that. So I said, I'd love to talk to you, but I actually have to distribute all these books first. So, you know, it's kind of a situation where it's like, oh, you're not a real Hare Krishna, you know, things like that. I've seen this man like every time I go to Venice Beach, but it was a tough call, you know, because I was thinking like there's a fine line between helping people and then Daridra Narayan Seva, you know, just like helping his body or just massaging his ego and actually doing some good for him, which is, you know, talk about the philosophy.
Okay, thank you, Prabhu. So when we're in a triage condition, we're in an emergency condition, and you'll know like in military, you have these emergency technicians, right, the medic. And so what they do is they go through the battlefield and they look at the one individual, and, you know, maybe they have an assistant helping them, and they say, they even used to put like stickers on them, like a red sticker, yellow sticker, you know, depending on what was the nature of their bodily disaster, right? And so, you know, they say, okay, help him first. Forget him, he's lost. Help this one, he can be helped. This one just needs this. And they move through and they give a very quick diagnosis, because they have this, you know, this wealth of medical knowledge. So one has to use their wealth of devotional knowledge to analyze who can actually be helped, who's actually worth, who's worth a certain amount of time. Because it is an emergency. It's almost like an explosion of Kali Yuga, and there's bodies all around. And you have to try to help as many people as possible. And so you cannot get hung up on people who are going to take time from those who actually could be helped with that time better, right? And so being a triage, meaning there's three different levels of, you know, that they categorize people into. So you have to be able to categorize people. So a fundamentalist fanatic who is not willing to listen at all, you know, certainly a Vaishnava wants to help everyone, but there's someone right next to him that could use that 1 minute that he's taken could actually do so much more in their life. So it's better to utilize your own experience to make that decision. Okay, Archdeep Prabhu has something to add.
I wanted to, first of all, thank you for agreeing to give class. In my position as a person who schedules classes, it's very difficult to get Sri Satchinandana Prabhu to agree to give a class. So, everybody please say Haribo. Wonderful class again. Now you have no excuse.
It hurt my ears. I have to leave.
So Anila's question, there are two things. One thing is discrimination, and we always have to, at every moment, pray to Krishna to give us the proper discrimination. That was mentioned in a recent purport, where Prabhupada said, Krishna is giving the pure devotees the right discrimination every moment, and he mentioned Tesham Satata Yuktanam. So internally, we should always, especially when you're preaching, you have to always be asking Krishna to direct you to the right person, to the right situation, to say the right thing, always relying on Krishna, and then it'll come. So I just wanted to share an experience in that regard. In New York, I was distributing in Penn Station. And in those days, we would just leave our books against some lockers. And, you know. So I turn around and I see this obvious homeless person. In New York, we call them bag ladies. So she was going through my boxes. So I asked her, I said, what are you looking for? She said, I'm looking for the book on reincarnation. So I said, they're all about reincarnation. She said, no, the one with the little boy on the cover. She was looking for coming back. So I gave her one. Now, I was listening recently to a talk that Vaisheshika Prabhu gave in Govardhan on Prabhupada's disappearance day last year. And he was saying how Prabhupada started a movement on the give and take principle. We go out and give people, but we're also empowered to take from them. Don't just give. Like normally people go around with a begging bowl, but Prabhupada made it a huge begging bowl where you can put the whole world into it. So I asked her, based on that principle, to give a donation. She's a bag lady. Maybe she doesn't have anything, but I said, no. Our spiritual master said everybody has to give something. So sure enough, she went through her clothes and she came out with 38 cents. She gave that 38 cents. So yes, if this guy's homeless or whatever, he's still a spirit soul who's in need, and you're also empowered by Prabhupada to ask something from him, not just to give. It's not just a giving situation. We're also empowered to take. So you ask them, yes, I'll give you this book to read, but can you give something in return?
Thank you, Archita Prabhu. Would anyone like to add something else? Yes, Prabhu?
I always wondered why there's symbols on the bottom of Krishna's feet. Can you explain that?
Why there's symbols? Because there is. He's a person, right? And there's no explanation as to why he has this or has that. He's not a machine. He's not a compilation of logical, things put together. He's a person, and, yeah, that's his nature. He enjoys, that's how he enjoys. He likes it, as Bhagavati Prabhu said. Okay. One last comment.
Thank you, Sachi Prabhu. In this analysis that you make about the man dying and the two smarta brahmanas, so many things they were thinking about why not to do. I was just considering that the good Samaritan sometimes it might not be necessarily like in a trained spiritually to act like that way. It's previous activities. There are some people that you find in the world who naturally do these things, but for most of us, when we hear what to do, the right thing to do, it's always come to, like the Paramahansa stage, they always do the appropriate thing, the right thing to do. But sometimes we find in a situation ourselves that what to do first and what to do after. And I would say that, for example, you think, I'm going to do my service now, and I'm running to do this for Krishna. And somebody will ask you to do something else before. Maybe a Prabhu who is like crying for someone to help. Can you please come and see me at the hospital, for example? Or can you please do this? Can you get me a ride to the airport? I need it so desperately. And then you feel like you want to help that person. But it's your duty here first. And then I was considering also that at some time, long time ago, many devotees, were, because of the fever of Sankirtan or so many things, they were, you cannot say push, because we were doing the right thing. But prematurely, sometimes certain things were done in such a way that they regret later on, because of, neglecting of their own children, and then later on there was some suing, sure. and so many things. So my conclusion of this Prabhu is that I was thinking that it requires a mature, senior, very advanced Vaishnava to actually help those devotees, or help us, all of us, including me, what to do at the right thing, at the right time, in order to be really Krishna conscious. Because sometimes we think, I'm doing the right thing, even in the name of doing devotional service.
Sure. Yes, yes. And may I just add that we also can help each other. Right? The reason we constantly hear these messages from Prabhupada's purport from the Shastra is that we can develop a more refined understanding of what it means to serve Krishna, which is very detailed. Right? There's many different things that have to be balanced. So if we're all striving to get a clearer understanding, then we can have a culture, a community where we help each other to do that as well. Okay? Okay, so there's going to be millions of people at the Harinam, and there's going to be millions more watching on television. So everyone, please put aside everything else and help the people who need it. Thank you very much. All glories to Shri Prabhupada.